One thing he did take pride in, he was one of the few men who at the age of 85 could still remember the names of all his dentists. He died on the feast of St. Dismas after mistakenly eating a bag of after-dinner mints before lunch. Uncle Montezuma wasn't too bright. He thought Irving Berlin was the Jewish section of Germany. As a young man, he wanted to be a gynecologist, but claimed he couldn't find an opening. He was proud of the fact that while serving a prison term for sodomizing a prairie dog, he learned to drink beer through his nose. For years, he managed a gay car wash, but lost all his money investing in a roadside sausage museum. His last job was managing a Playboy club in Auschwitz. When he retired, he wasn't given a gold watch, but his former boss would call him once a week and tell him what time it was. Finally, after marrying a woman who had repeatedly blown Strom Thurmond during a military funeral, he died from eating a batch of carelessly made hollandaise sauce. More euphemisms. There's no part of American life that hasn't been soiled by the new, softer, artificial language. It's everywhere. When you travel, you notice it in the hotel business, or, as they prefer to think of themselves now, the hospitality industry. And by the way, hotels are one more place where you'll run into job title inflation. There was a time in a hotel when you checked in with the desk clerk. Now he's the front desk agent. When he answers the phone, he becomes guest services. I guess it's only fair. Everyone else in the hotel has been upgraded. The bellhop has somehow become a luggage assistant, and he claims to work in luggage services. The maids have been upgraded several times over the years. Cleaning woman, maid, housekeeper, now they're room attendants. And on the subject of rooms, depending on where you're staying, room service is likely to be called in-room dining or private dining. One brochure I read called it your private dining experience. Pretentiousness. Never underestimate the role pretension plays when it comes to creating euphemistic language. Here's another example of it. At one hotel where I stayed, the restaurant was temporarily located on the lower level. I was told the reason was that they were undergoing restaurant enhancement. Okay? The concierge actually uttered that phrase. Not remodeling. Restaurant enhancement. And he said it as if it was something people say all the time. By the way, I shouldn't have to remind you that that lower level he referred to was once called the basement. I guess I don't really mind the phrase lower level, at least it's descriptive, although it is the comparative form and not an absolute. Lower than what? It also bothers me when they tell me the gym is located on level 3. Level 3 is just plain old pretentiousness. And I wish the hotels would make up their minds on what to call the gym. It's been everything. Gym, fitness center, exercise room, health club, spa. God, spa! Used to be you had to go to Europe to find a spa. Now any place that has a sink and more than 3 towels is a fucking spa. And one more thing about hotels. A lot of them have replaced the do not disturb signs with signs that say privacy, please. Seems like a small thing, but there's a difference here that's worth noting. Do not disturb is assertive. It's strong. Do not disturb. It means go away. But privacy, please, is weak. It sounds as if you're pleading with people. Privacy, please? Softness. To my mind, it's one more example of the feminization of language that has taken place in this country. And more important, it represents a retreat from reality. Here's another example of the same problem. Thank you for not smoking. Now, speaking strictly for myself, I find nothing wrong with the phrase no smoking. It's simple, it's direct, it's firm. No smoking. Any questions? Fine. But thank you for not smoking. First of all, it's weak. And second, for God's sakes, why are you thanking them? It's as if you think they're doing you a favor by not giving you emphysema. Personally, if I were trying to discourage people from smoking, my sign would be a little different. In fact, I might even go too far in the opposite direction. My sign would say something like, smoke if you wish, but if you do, be prepared for the following series of events. First, we will confiscate your cigarette and extinguish it somewhere on the surface of your skin. We will then run your nicotine-stained fingers through a paper shredder and throw them into the street, where wild dogs will swallow and then regurgitate them into the sewers so that infected rats can further soil them before they're flushed out to sea with the rest of the city's filth.